Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Herbie, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Anthony Herron.
All we got to do is do our job and punch him in the mouth every single
day. We got him.
Football insider for 670 The Score.
We do what we do. We drive all game long.
And Fox 32.
Majority of folks here in my life do pronounce it Herron. Even like my pops, who he should know how our last name is pronounced.
And the Pac-12.
How many jobs you got?
One job!
And Big Ten Sirius XM.
Whole lot of Herron out there.
Anthony Herron talking ball with Lawrence Holmes on 670 The Score.
You know, it's funny. When we started putting Anthony on once a week during football season, we were like, oh, yeah, we'll have him on once a week. And it's bear season. We're breaking down games every week. And then we're like, we like talking to him about football like all the time. So he's been nice enough to hang out with us and during the playoffs and the Super Bowl, like in the beginning of the offseason for the NFL, we've got to pick his brain. And now we're closing in on the NFL having a draft that's coming up. So that's the way that they're going to go about this is what I want to talk with Anthony about today. He joins me on the Alpamonte Ford hotline. Alpamonte Ford has 500 new and used vehicles for you to choose from. You can find him on Twitter at Big Ant Heron. What's up, sir?
So, oh, doing well, man. I guess I'm observing the NFL so far, trying to project an image of being corona-proof while the rest of us make a number of adjustments to our lives and how we have to operate day in and day out. I certainly see you doing your thing with the show still, making that happen. Got to do my thing. Actually, I was texting with you earlier. I'm going to be on Sports Talk Live later. I'm trying to figure out if I need to do something more with the backdrop. I just got like one picture on the wall for right now. But we're all adjusting as we move. Everyone except the NFL, I guess.
I think that I'm sure that you always present yourself pretty well. So I wouldn't worry about it too much. You don't have to make it too pretty for us on Sports Talk Live. Like, I'm just going to wear a sweater today. Like, Jason was making us all look bad on Friday because he was like dressed up. On Friday, like, he had the jacket, had the nice boot in right. Here, like, all that stuff. And I was like, nah, man, you getting this quarter zip, and that's it. Like, that's what I'm doing from the home studio. You're lucky I brushed my hair for it. So we will all be together tonight on Sports Talk Live on the My Teams app and on the NBC Sports Chicago Facebook page, and it'll be a lot of fun. I wanted to pick your brain, man. I have so many questions about this process and how the NFL is like, look, we're doing this. Like, we're doing the draft, so you better figure out how to conference in your staff and talk about all of these things. What are the difficulties that are facing NFL teams as they get ready for the draft?
I mean, none of it is insurmountable, but from a personnel standpoint, these NFL squads are accustomed to having their guys on the road evaluating prospects in person, both physically and mentally. And that's the majority of what usually is going on right now leading into this period of the draft. You know, once you get through the combine, and you quite frequently usually will have individual workouts, whether that's the team flying a prospect in, or if that's a team going out to a prospect's institution or meeting at a neutral site. There's a number of ways that you go, and especially with your higher draft picks, so you're anticipating going whether first round or first few rounds, you want to get one-on-one time with those guys usually, and that's where you see at a certain point players end up putting kind of limitations on how frequently they're willing to do some of their one-on-one workouts. But that's a lot of what would be going on during this point. Even just taking guys out to dinner, as we famously heard, you know, about the Bears doing with Mitch Trubisky, having kind of secret meetings if you're towards the top of the draft, trying to play your cards close to the vest. But none of that has been available here for, you know, the better part of a month at this point when it comes down to it. And so for where the NFL's at right now, teams are having to find different ways to get a better sense, to get more comfortable with the prospects that they're considering drafting. I think it's likely, Lawrence, that it'll end up meaning we see less movement throughout the first round. I mean, a team like the Dolphins that has three first-round picks, maybe they feel a little bit more freedom because of the draft capital they've accumulated to take some risks, to move around if there's someone who they really feel sold on. But I think for the majority of teams out there, because they're not nearly as certain about a lot of the prospects because they haven't gotten the one-on-one, you know, in-person flesh, press-the-flesh kind of time with them, I don't think we'll necessarily see as much trade movement in the first round as we're accustomed to.
Okay, that's interesting. That's something that's a byproduct of all of this, that maybe you don't trust making a move like that. The other thing that has got me wondering how this process works is you've got a lot of scouts, you've got a lot of front office people, you have a lot of GMs that are sitting in their home offices poring over tape, maybe looking over more tape than they ordinarily would because they have the time and they want to make sure that they're working as hard as they possibly can. How do you keep from a paralysis by analysis if you're one of those people?
That tends to be a part of this period anyway, especially because you have your scouting department who's been evaluating these college prospects, these college football players for years in many cases at this point. And so they've got just a wealth of knowledge, just this backlog of information that's built up on the various guys who they like, who they're presenting to the GM, the player personnel director, the director of college scouting, who all these teams end up having. But now we're at the point where, since the NFL is in its offseason, that's where not only does the head coach, but the position coaches, the coordinators, they get involved in this process in evaluating the players leading towards the draft as well. And so now a lot of times you'll have conflicting information on an individual from the scouting department may really like this player. He's gotten a better sense for him over the years. Then you'll have the coaching staff coming in at this point who's doing everything they can, evaluating gobs and gobs of film on these guys. But a lot of times, those evaluations can be very dissimilar. The scouting department, particularly scout, may feel one way about a prospect, but then the position coach doesn't really like that prospect, or a coordinator may not feel like he suits their scheme. Or in years past, where you had the ability to get more in-person time with a prospect, perhaps doesn't even feel like the personality maybe just fits the locker room with all the different factors that go into it. And so those discussions are always very heightened and can get really intense in the room. And those are going to be more difficult to have with the same level of detail because there may be scouts who know these prospects a little bit better right now. But the position coaches, for the most part, you know, you had your opportunity at the combine. Some teams didn't even send a large contingency of individuals to the combine because they thought they were going to still have the ability to meet these prospects in person, get them out to their facility. A lot of teams, I shouldn't say a lot, but several teams didn't extend the same level of personnel resources, sending folks in person in Indianapolis. And some of those squads that may end up biting them in the tail here because that was really your main opportunity, and it ended up being the last opportunity many of these teams got to see these prospects in person. So it's going to put some of them behind the eight ball.
Talking with SKOR football analyst Anthony Heron here on the SKOR. You've kind of cataloged this a little bit, but for the fan that's sitting at home or working right now at their desk or in their car, what is the value of the workouts at a facility or the pro days that the universities have?
I mean, you can get a sense for a prospect, for a player on film with the bulk of it that's available, with the variety of camera angles and it gets to the point where, you know, evaluators will even listen to the television copy of games, because especially for college football broadcasts, more so than NFL broadcasts, there's a lot of storytelling that we'll do on prospects. So you get some information in addition to, you know, I think I've talked to you about it before, all the private investigation that goes into things where you're learning about a prospect's history. But, you'll hear the different analysts during the game, the play-by-play guy, do a lot of storytelling on the player's collegiate career, on his upbringing, those types of things. So they're doing as much as they can in detail, getting various levels of that. But to be able to spend time in person with an individual, it's just a different thing. You know, there is still that human aspect of it where you not only get to watch a quarterback throw in person and get a true sense for the velocity, for the release, for the touch and timing of things. You get to watch a receiver on the hook. You get to watch a running back moving around and just get a full sense for where they're at physically, but then also the human end of it with any and every job interview. It's part of why even something like the Rooney Rule is so important, because the opportunity to evaluate folks in person, there's still that interpersonal end of it where the comfort you end up developing with someone you're considering hiring may or may not come. But if there's no opportunity, if there's no time that you're spending in person with that prospect, prospective coach, prospective player, then that opportunity won't likely be there. It's so much about relationships, and that's where if a prospect makes a certain impression in person in the interview process, then that opportunity is there for the team to sort of fall in love with them, as we've seen happen a number of times over the years. So the physical end of it ends up being very important in person, but as much as anything, it's how does that player hustle from drill to drill as I'm watching them closely here in person? When they come up and shake my hand, are they looking me in the eyes? Do I view that as something important as a talent evaluator? Your personal purview on what you like in a prospect at a different position, and different positions have different personality evals the teams will look for you know, whatever their paradigm is on how a quarterback is supposed to act, how intelligent an offensive lineman is supposed to be, how much of a blockhead a defensive lineman is supposed to be, all those types of things that when you go into meeting someone in person, you get a far better sense for it than you can through FaceTime or, you know, through a Zoom chat or whatever the case may be. Now, those things are being utilized, but it doesn't give you the same human interpersonal sort of evaluation that you can when you're actually in someone's presence.
Did you see the documentary that HBO did on Saban and Belichick?
Just pieces of it. I haven't sat down and watched the whole thing.
All right, put it on your list, because I think that you're one of those people that I think will get a little extra out of it. One of the interesting things that came out of the discussion was Nick Saban explaining that he doesn't get what he thinks are enough calls from NFL teams. That obviously he and Bill talk about players all the time, but he was lamenting how if Team A would have asked me about player X, I could have told them that player X doesn't fit with that system. I feel like this is now one of those times where, because you're trying to get as much information as possible, that your connections in college football become paramount, because now you're relying on that positional coach that you met at Tennessee. You're relying on that the wide receiver coach at West Virginia, all of those things to give you a real honest discussion on the player that you're thinking about drafting.
Those relationships end up being key. I mean, even in the college football world right now, where pretty much every conference has shut down not only their recruiting, but what their organized team activities will be for months to come. And we're seeing a number of the Power Five conferences start to extend, you know, because everything right now is so unknown. You know, there were dates that were going through the end of April. Now we're seeing certain conferences extend that through the end of May, where they won't be allowing any organized team activities. And so from a recruiting standpoint, which there are certainly some corollaries between college football recruiting and what's happening right now, just in evaluating prospects that you may draft into your NFL team, where the relationships with folks who are around those prospects end up being key. If you can't get that interpersonal time, that one-on-one opportunity to see someone, to talk to someone in person, then those around them, those who have relationships, those who have had the opportunity to coach them, to evaluate them for years and years. That's where, like I was referencing earlier, the scouting departments for a number of these teams, they're going to get leaned on even more heavily now than ever before because they've had more time in person with the players who these teams are going to consider drafting. And, you know, in comparison with the collegiate end of it, where recruiting is basically off the table at this point, while teams can't reach out to high school football prospects right now, they can still talk to coaches they have relationships with or those who are close to individual players to get a sense for that. And from their standpoint, say, hey, you know, maybe I'm still – because we do still see players committing to universities right now. I don't think it's because there's been zero contact of any kind. So folks are finding ways to be creative with how they can still go about that at the collegiate level, recruiting high school prospects. And I think that same type of creativity has to take place at the NFL level and how you get as comfortable as you can with these players you're evaluating, because I can't imagine there's anyone in the National Football League right now who's experiencing anything close to what they are right now with the limited level of contact that teams are able to have with prospects.
Let me get team specific with you for a second. Anthony Heron joining us here on The Score. When it comes to the Bears and what they did in free agency, and I think there's probably another two or three rounds of free agency that are going to happen where they're adding, although the Bears need to do some, they need to get some extensions done, and they need to do some restructuring because they're starting to run up against a cap problem right now. But the one specific thing that I wanted to ask you about, Big Ant, was about the safety position. And it seems to me that they looked at the film and came to the similar conclusions that the rest of us did, which gives me some hope that they're seeing the same things that we are. And that is, Eddie Jackson's not a box safety. He's not a strong safety. And he is most beneficial to your team when he is playing free safety. Are they able, in what they want to do defensively, to just put, and I'm not trying to diss like Deion Bush or any of the other guys, are they able to put a replacement level strong safety out there on the field and still be as good defensively because of some of the things that they've done up front?
With a guy like Deion Bush, who we've seen plenty so far during his Bears career, the Bears are a better tackling secondary when Deion Bush is on the field. The problem is, and especially with just where the National Football League is at this point offensively, we do see teams taking advantage of his limitations in coverage. But when he's on the field, and we saw the Bears even early last season try to find more situations that they could play Deion Bush in the red zone, he's just even in that area of the field. I mean, there was a touchdown in the opener against Green Bay where it was basically just Jimmy Graham, you know, new Bears tight end, new Bears, big money free agent, but Jimmy Graham just boxed him out in the end zone, him and several other Bears teammates. But Deion Bush was on the field in that moment, and it just turned into a thing where when he was on the field, folks would find ways to target him. Now, that being said, is it possible, is it plausible to try to limit what he can end up, how he can end up being exposed in coverage? It is. Now, you end up needing to go to more and more sub-packages to do that, and then that's where I think, you know, you could end up seeing, you know, the fact that both Roquan Smith and Danny Trevathan are extremely athletic linebackers. That could be a way where you take advantage of that. Say, you know what, maybe we don't need true OLBs. We can add Roquan to either the edge rush or the inside blitz. We can have Danny be a guy who we really trust in coverage and bring other defensive backs on the field, where you have less of those mid-level, those, you know, second-level bodies on the field, but you still got your full advent of pass rushers up front, and then you've got additional secondary players. It's just, you know, once you get into doing that, I don't want to use the term exclusively, but when it's a predominant part of your defense, then you can put yourself in a bind for folks with quarterbacks who are willing to audibleize pre-snap and take advantage of what they're showing, where you can give up run lanes. You can even give up matchups from a passing standpoint when you have individual players on the field who teams feel like they can attack, as we did see them doing at times last season with Deion Bush. I feel like Deion is a talented player, but I think the term you use is a fitting one, a replacement-level player. He hasn't shown up to this point in his career that he can be trusted consistently in pass coverage. But like I said, I've been saying it for a couple of years now, the Bears are a better tackling secondary when he's on the field. You just get exposed in other ways.
I agree with you. I like the way that he comes downhill against the run. I like that he is willing to kind of throw his body out there to get guys on the ground. And I imagine that he probably has the inside track to that job, but I think that they're going to try and continue to bring in guys on minimum or close to minimum deals to see if they can end up being the strong safety for this team. One more thing I want to ask you, Big Ant.
What we saw from some of the other veterans around the NFL right now, where teams, transactions may be slowing down a bit, but as other veteran free agents, end up hitting the street, as other guys get released, then you're going to have the opportunity for the Bears to continue evaluating that. But the extension into things that you referenced, getting A-Rob done, who, it sounds like with his new CBA, he's none too pleased with how that played out. So that may even enhance what he's looking for from a compensation standpoint via the Bears. And, getting the extensions done and knowing exactly where they're going to be from a cap standpoint, then that's certainly going to be a big part of the overall calculus of how the Bears are able to sign other veteran players.
All right, so one more thing before I let you go. Earlier in the show, we were having a discussion about get off my lawn, something that you loved about a player that back in the day that you would have to explain to someone now on why they were great. Is there any athlete that you can think of that they had something about them that you would have to sit someone down to make them understand why that athlete was great at their job?
A player for the Bears, there's a couple that kind of pop into my mind immediately. Like Chris Zorich is a player who wasn't a great NFL player, but really good, a solid, hardworking interior defensive lineman who I enjoyed watching. Wasn't necessarily a great player, but if that's the type of guy that I think can fit what you would describe as a number of different schemes in today's football and have Bears fans kind of remember how well he played for the position he was in. But I think beyond a Chris Zorich type, someone who was a legitimately great player that I think folks around the National Football League probably didn't appreciate as much as they should have back then. And certainly at this point, looking back at it, I don't even think you hear the name Neil Anderson mentioned enough amongst Bears fans, folks who were alive to watch his career play out and just recognize what a great all-around talent he was, the injuries, bum ankles and broken ribs that he would play through, and B, really just kind of where Thurman Thomas was the 1A all-purpose back, and Neil Anderson for a stretch there was, kind of 1B or a full-on number two all-purpose back in the National Football League. That's a mediocre Bears teams, but did everything that was called upon of him during his career. And you go back and look at some of the film and see everything he brought to the table, a lot of Matt Forte similarities to the style of running, the all-purpose elements that they played with, and being an individual who had to, in certain stretches, just carry the bulk of the Bears' offense in an unheralded kind of manner in certain years. Neil Anderson had such an underrated career during his time in the NFL.
Big Ant, I appreciate the time. I'll see you on STL coming up a little bit later on tonight.
All right, I'm trying to decide if I'm going to shave because my facial hair situation is I haven't had to groom myself very much lately. I'm trying to determine if I'm going to reshape my spotty beard right now, do something with that, or if I'm just going to go baby face. I'll let you know before we get on the air.
Well, I'm not doing it. Like, I'm committed to looking like Frederick Douglass by the end of all of this.
I just don't think I have it in me. That's the problem. I cannot grow a fully formed beard. I was kind of taking advantage of this stretch not being on camera to really give it a go, and I'm just not impressed with what I got going a couple of weeks into this thing. So I'm probably going to shave it.
All right, well, then I look forward to your critique of what I got going on when you see me later on tonight.
Looking forward to it, bro.
That is Anthony Heron. Yeah, man, I'm just letting it ride. I'm just hair and beard because it's not like I can go see my barber. And I saw my guy Gabe from B96. He just went one guard and just knocked it all down. Nope. I'm going to see how far I can go with all of this me losing my hair thing. I'm going for my Jeffrey Wright look. I'm getting close, too. So if you watch Westworld, like, that guy is what I look like right now. Except I have a little bit more hair than Jeffrey because he's 10 years older than me. But at the end of this, man, I'm going for full Frederick Douglass style. You'll see on Sports Talk Live tonight. There's a lot of salt.
I heard you're doing some good things nowadays.
With what?
I was making a President Trump joke right there.
Oh.
Acting like
that's
Frederick
right,
Douglass was still
Frederick
alive.
Frederick Douglass, he's still here. Stick to sports, Herbie.
He's doing good things nowadays.
He is. That's what I hear. He is doing good things nowadays. But you'll see it on Sports Talk Live. Like I'm taking care of the neck beard aspect of it. Like I'm cutting that and like shaping that up. But I'm letting it ride, man, and I'm gonna see where it goes. It might be a whole new look for LoHo. We're gonna take a break. When we come back, we're gonna talk with our buddy Terrence Tomlin, find out what he's watching. With our What You Watching segment next here on The Score.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports
Lawrence
station.
Lawrence Holmes wants to know what you're watching on TV.
When the chips are down.
So we started this last week. We figured with there not being any sports, and today was supposed to be opening day over at Wrigley Field, that we would talk to our friends about things that they are watching, whether they're watching on a streaming service or they're checking out stuff that's on demand. And before I get to Terrence, I brought it up earlier to Big Ant, and if you like interesting football content and you didn't watch the Belichick, Saban, The Art of Coaching thing that HBO did, it is well worth your time. If you're looking for a good hour of just hardcore, like, nuts and bolts, learning the game type football from those guys' perspective, thumbs up from me big time. Terrence Tomlin's great. He's one half of It's the Bigs with our buddy Gene. They do a really different type of coverage of Chicago sports. He's become a really good friend of this show and of myself. And I'm very happy to bring him in here on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford has 500 new and used vehicles for you to choose from. Mr. Tomlin, how are you, sir?
Lawrence, man, I'm doing great. You know I'm always good when I get a chance to talk to you, brother.
Well, I appreciate that. It's very nice of you to say. I imagine that you have you feel a certain type of way today, considering that you would ordinarily be at Wrigley Field covering the new Cubs season.
Exactly, man. You know, I just got done saying that very sentence to Gene, man. We sitting here talking on live to some of our followers, man, talking about we would have been at Wrigley Field today, you know, right now getting ready to kick off our fourth season of coverage. So, man, it's a big change. I'm sitting in front of my TV right now trying to find some entertainment, some kind of creative way to spend my time. But I definitely wish that we were at the ballpark today, you know?
Well, before I ask you about what you're watching, let me ask you this. Before things shut down, what were the things that you were most interested to find out about the 2020 Cubs team?
Well, you know what? I wanted to see how far they dropped off, if any. You know, the last couple of seasons did not end how, you know, a lot of Cubs fans wanted it to go. Joe Maddon is no longer the guy in town, and they have somebody in David Ross who they've been, you know, talking a lot about. I wanted to see what kind of impact he was going to have early on with this team. I really liked some of the, you know, the honesty that we were hearing from the players, the spring training, from guys like El Mago, saying that last year he had a tough time with his personal routine. You know, I wanted to see how he came out early, you know, what he was able to work on as far as his personal process. And, of course, I wanted to check out that pitching staff. You know, I think, you know, the Cubs are kicking the tires on that staff. You know, the age is getting up there. I wanted to see what they had initially, man. So Just like on the other side of town, I had high expectations for the Northsiders, man.
Yeah, it's a shame. And I'm glad that you brought up El Mago. Can you explain to the people your connection to El Mago?
El Mago, Javier Baez. We personally donned him, El Mago, during the 2016 season. And since then, he's taken the name and run with it because it just fits him so well. You know, anybody that watches, you know, Javi on the field and at the plate, the dude is a magic man. One of the more special players that we've seen in this city. And when Gene and I came up with the nickname The Magician, which we later turned into El Mago to fit, you know, give him a more tailor-made fit, it really just took on a life of its own. This became his own personal brand. But at the same time, Eugene and I, you know, are still churning out nicknames. But we definitely accept any and all credit for coming up with El Mago.
All right, so you are listening to the man right there that came up with El Mago, the originator right there, Terrence Tomlin. This segment is
let
being brought
know,
to
Lawrence,
you.
Let him know.
I'm out here trying. Like I try to let people know that like that's one of the things that like, they got to understand that you and Gene are out here innovating and stuff that they have now added to their own consciousness was started out by you guys. So I want to make sure that you give full credit for it.
I respect that, Lawrence. Thank you, brother.
This segment is being brought to you by Denny's. Denny's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Order your favorites from Denny's at Denny's.com. Pick it up or have your Denny's favorites delivered right to your door with free delivery. You're hungry? Denny's delivers for free. Order now at Denny's.com. All right, so what are you watching? Like, what's got your attention when you're actually checking out what's going on the tube?
You know, Lawrence, I've actually went the movie route, you know, being out as much as we are, I have completely just missed every single movie that I wanted to see in the movie. So over the last week or so, I've taken time and I've watched, I feel like every movie that came out in the last 2 months, honestly. But, you know, I've watched stuff like 21 Bridges. I watched Onward, the new Disney movie. Shout out to my bootleg cable connect, basically. Because I've been able to watch some newer movies. So I've been taking advantage of some bootleg cable. But, man, Lawrence, I'm honestly trying to figure out who I can talk to get my 5 hours back from watching The Tiger King, bro.
Okay, so you're the first person who said that has not enjoyed Tiger King. What didn't you like? Because I'm still on the fence. I haven't watched it yet.
You know what, Lawrence? I couldn't help but think throughout the entire thing, a brother can never get away with living like that. You understand? I'm like, what corner of the earth is this going on? But I know it's no brothers there.
No, you're right. From what I've seen on the previews, that is very much a thing. So, yeah, you guys are rocking and rolling all the time. So getting to the movies and carving out 2 to 3 hours in a space is a difficult thing. Like, I'm super happy. I don't know if I even told you this story, but I went to go see Bad Boys for Life in Chatham. And the movie cut off when I was in Chatham.
You don't even have to say anymore. All I heard was Chatham and a movie cutting off. I can guess what happened next.
Yeah, you can. But here's the thing. I've never seen the end of the movie. So now I guess it's going to be released because they're going to obviously their first run stuff is now being put straight onto streaming services. They're going to release Bad Boys for Life tomorrow. So me and Mel can actually watch the end of this movie.
You know what? The crib, the couch, you know, is the new movie theater. You know, so I've been seeing a lot of, you know, movies that were going to theater come straight to streaming. And so it's only right they get Bad Boys Life some, you know, a new life, you know, basically with streaming because everybody's going to be home. You know, I was actually in Atlanta a couple of weeks ago and I saw Bad Boys for Life at a drive-in. So, Lawrence, I can say that you're going to love the ending.
Okay. You know what's weird, Terrence? Like, I guess drive-ins are, like, popping back up now because it's a safe way to do social distancing.
That is exactly why I ended up at a drive-in. You know, you're looking for things to do that, you know, follow the social distancing guidelines. And it's like, okay, I can sit in my car and watch a movie. And it was totally packed. You know, it was cars as far as the eye could see.
That's like old school. You know, our parents back in the day taking us to sneaking us into drive-thrus.
Definitely, you get some fast food. You turn the radio up. You can have a great time.
My dude, I appreciate your time, man. Thanks for jumping on. We'll have to do this again soon.
Lawrence, you know, anytime you need us, we're here, man. Thank you for all the love throughout our journey, man. We truly appreciate you.
You guys are doing the work. I'm just here to put a spotlight on it. That is Terrence Tomlin of It's the Bigs. He and Gene McIntosh do a great job covering. They have a completely unique perspective on what goes on in Chicago sports, and they get some of the best interviews. And they are the ones that came up with El Mago. So shout out to Gene and Terrence for all that good stuff. So, all right, someone texted in and said that Grody's not a fan either of Tiger King. I didn't know that.
Yeah, he stopped watching after, like, episode 3.
Okay.
I can understand why people, like, it's a tough watch because it gets crazier and crazier, and there's no hero. There's no one you're rooting for necessarily in this thing. Maybe the animals, but they're also deadly cats.
Well, you do this on Twitter. You're always rooting for the animal.
Oh, yeah, 100%. When I heard, well, this is not breaking any confidence. There's a person that gets mauled and their arm gets taken off. I was Team Tiger. Stop effing with tigers. They like to kill people.
What did Chris Rock say? That tiger didn't go crazy. That tiger went tiger. It's the truth. It's very much the truth. I don't know. Are there any drive-ins in the Chicago area now?
I don't know. And the one that we used to go to in West Chicago, Cascade, just closed down before this all happened. And so we had been going to that for, you know, since I was a child and probably past that.
And that had the great setup, too, because there was the Scooby's Red Hots right next to it. So you could very easily go to Scooby's, hide your food, go into Cascade, watch your double feature, and have delicious food. It was a great setup, and now, I mean, just it was too long with not having enough people there. Cascade's just not there anymore.
I wonder, like, here's one of those opportunities. Like, this is one of those things where if you could pull it together, and pulling it together would probably be difficult. But for the next, you know, 4 to 6 weeks, this is a pretty interesting way to make money that I don't think, like, I don't look at it as a way to, I look at this as being not predatory, because there's some people that are being predatory and taking gouging. This is something that could actually serve communities if there is the opportunity to do a drive-in theater somewhere, like, that maybe is recently closed and have them pop up and run some. It would be a way to get out and stay in at the same time.
According to the texters, you got to drive far as hell to go to a drive-in. McHenry or Earlville, some town called Earlville, that's far as hell. But that Cascade just closed, like, I think last year. So yeah, if somebody wanted to do what you were saying, it's still fine, you know.
Well,
it's
the thing
not
is,
like,
people are paying for experiences now. People
right.
want to pay for experience as much as anything. So, you know, if we trust that most people have, you know, decent enough cars now, or even if they're a little older, it's a nice enough setup in there for the situation that if you can do it right, if you can have your own concessions be a lot better and maybe get people to take that in, or have a partnership with, like in the instance of Cascade, maybe with Scooby's. And have people show whatever their ticket is or their, you know, voucher, whatever, and get a percent of the money going in, because those people are, in theory, going to Scooby's because they're going to the double feature over at Cascade, something like that. There's ways to do it. There's got to be a way to do it, because that's just one of those retro things that people could get into again.
Well, I'm thinking, like, no concessions. I'm thinking everyone's allowed to bring in their own food. And you lock up the bathrooms, too. Like, you got to make sure that you're trying to keep as much social distance as possible. But as far as, like, tickets, like, the tickets could be – it would take a lot. Like, this wouldn't be easy. But the tickets could be scanned. Like, that would be the way to do it. I just think that there might be something there. Like, I would have to work through a business plan and a business model. But Terrence said he had a great time at the one that he was in Atlanta. I can imagine that this would be an experience that no child or most children would never get otherwise. And now they have an opportunity to get it. So, not a terrible idea. Upwork has the world's largest network of independent professionals, devs, UL designers, writers, strategists, you name it. Whatever skills your scope demands, Upwork is how. Pros available short or long term, one time or as often as you need them. And they're proven, rated, and reviewed. Need a front-end developer for a few months, an SEO specialist for 6 weeks, or a team of designers and devs all in one place? Upwork is how. When you need in-demand talent on demand, Upwork is how. A lot of people jumping in with their text ideas. I guess there's one out in Valpo as well. There's a place called the 49er Drive-In in Valparaiso. I hope it's still open.
Too far.
Well, not for me. For me, it's easier. It would be easier for me to get to Valpo than Earlville or McHenry. Much easier. Be in Valparaiso in 45 minutes. I am looking forward to seeing the end of Bad Boys for Life because the movie went off 3 times when I was in Chatham. That in itself was a fun experience. But damn, we need to take a break. Back after this on The Score. Good. All right, so Texas are helping problem solve that don't do the public bathrooms, but you can do porta potties. Okay. All right, I mean, I that would work for me. I would hope that would work for the state, because I guess if you are going to have people bring in food, they'll probably need to go to the bathroom, but I feel like just hold it. Don't get a big gulp. Just... Although them dollar Sprites at McDonald's, man, you get like the largest pop you've ever seen for a buck. Can't beat that with a stick. This morning, I ran across a piece that dropped earlier, and it's from Sam Smith, and it's on NBA.com. Sam's a really great writer, but the story is about Zach LaVine, and he talked with Zach LaVine about everything that's happening in the NFL. I just wanted to share a couple of graphs with you on this story because I think it's interesting getting an NBA player's perspective on how much things have changed. Sam writes first. On the basketball court, LaVine has been a wizard. But like with Dorothy, for him, there's no place like home. So once the Bulls' fast break began heading in all directions, Zach was back where he grew up, where he remains in the offseason, and where his parents live about 20 minutes down the road. For everyone at a time like this, it was best to return to their safe place. Zach's always has been with family. He said, with the news, this is Zach saying this, with the news of the virus hitting Oklahoma City Thunder and the Jazz, I was playing video games. I was pretty locked in and had my headphones on. My phone just kept buzzing, buzzing, buzzing. My dad, my agent, friends, my girl calling, and I finally realized all this was happening. We don't know what was going on because everything was put on hold so fast. Then the next day, we headed back to Chicago, and they said the season was going to be suspended. They don't know until when. We stayed at home in Chicago and came out, and it came out it would be suspended for at least 3 weeks. I'm a big family person. Seattle and California were getting bad. My sister and my dad were in California, and my dad took my sister and drove back to Seattle, and I wanted to be with my family. When I got the A-OK to go home, I left at like 5 in the morning. I was going to get a private plane. My best friend, Parian, who played with the Windy City G League team, came with me. He said, just buy seats in first class so nobody is sitting next to you. We got the flight to Seattle early in the morning, and there were like 11 people on the flight. It was the weirdest thing because you were like flying the plane by yourself. When asked how he's doing, LaVine replied with this. I'm doing good, but it's so crazy everything on social media. I'm not saying things are blown out of proportion, but if somebody coughs, if you have a regular sneeze, it's like everyone thinking you have the virus. Everything's so tense. When we got back home, everything was green. My girl sneezed, and she was like, oh, my gosh. And I said, honey, remember, you have allergies. It's really serious, but we can't freak out. Levine concludes with this. He says, on how he's spending his time. I play a lot of video games, and obviously the big thing now is people are getting into the video game community. I'm starting to do that as well. I'm creating my own Twitch account because I play video games so much anyway, and I have a pretty big following with that. Me and my girlfriend, Hunter, play dominoes and board games. I work out. I play with my dog in the backyard. I got about half an acre backyard, so that's been good. I've been fortunate because I've been able to go outside my house in my yard and get some fresh air and things like that. So that's Zach LaVine. That's what he's up to. He's going to be on Twitch playing video games. I don't know. He didn't offer what his tag was going to be, but I'm sure it'll be easy to find his Twitch channel and you could play with him. I know that that's something that Kyle Long has been an advocate of. He's been one of the stars on Twitch. But it is interesting to see, like, what happens with guys. Like, where do you end up going? And where, what becomes home base? And for him, it was home base was where his family was going to be. Go back there. Even though Seattle is one of the hardest hit places with coronavirus. So the getting outside thing is really important. And if you're within the sound of my voice, follow the rules. You can go outside. Like, I went outside today. I did 4 miles today outside. And when I saw someone, I go the other direction. That's all you got to do.
What about when you saw Mayor Lori Lightfoot? Did you go the other way, too? Go back home?
Well, no. She's not telling you to go home. She's saying that you can't group up.
Sure.
And I was by myself. But I did. I walked past a bunch of parks today because I went basically all the way around Hyde Park, into a little bit of Jackson Park, into Woodlawn, and finished up at the Oakwood Cemetery. And I'm honestly kind of amazed at all of the super, like, small parks that are locked up. I thought for sure, like, some of the bigger places, yeah, they were going to lock those up. I was amazed at how much signage there was and how quickly they got that done. Mama got mad. Y'all out here on the 606 running in groups. And she's like, that's the end of that. That's the end of your lakefront. We're going to shut that down too. And I understand it. It's important to get outside. Now, I kind of wish that the one thing that I wish is that the weather would give us a little bit of a break. But apparently we act a fool when we get a little bit of a break weather-wise. But just the idea of being outside, like this morning, I was like, look, it's 43 degrees. I'm going to get up and I'm going to get these miles in. It's refreshing for your mind because I really didn't. I don't think I went anywhere. I went to the grocery store yesterday. But other than that, I hadn't left the house. So getting those moments when you can actually leave the house is important. Even if it's sitting out on your porch, like, do that. It's nice enough today. It's like 45 degrees. Like, it's nice enough. Walk around your backyard if you got a yard. Coming up on McNeil and Parkins, Dan Plesac. I'm guessing he's got a score story. Sack is going to join them at 4 o'clock, so make sure you listen. By the way, I have the 100th episode of my podcast, House of L. I can't believe it that I've done 100 episodes in less than 2 years, but I have. So please, wherever you get your podcast from, if you search House of L podcast, you can find it. Thanks for those of you who've already subscribed to it and listened throughout the last 2 years. I truly appreciate it. We'll be back with another fresh show for you starting at noon tomorrow. Thanks to Herbie and Campy for their hard work. I'll see you at noon right here on The Score.
Bye-bye.
Tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Peace out.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.